Father, as we open your word, we pray that you would be the one to faithfully teach us wisdom. We pray that we would be humble, that we would be ready to learn from you. We want to be a blank slate before you and have you write your truth upon our hearts. We want to be corrected, instructed. We don't want to be like the mocker who scoffs at instruction. We want to be wise even if it hurts. And so we ask that you would open your word and teach us and grow us and make us more like Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We are in the book of Proverbs this morning. I'm going through a series this summer at Grace Point Church where I pastor in the wisdom literature. And so I'm kind of doing overviews of the different books, and that's what you guys get this morning. It's kind of last-minute invite for me to come speak, and so you get to be in Proverbs chapter 9 this morning. We're going to do verses 1 to 18, the whole chapter. You can follow along on the screen, or you can turn there in your Bibles. As you're doing that, let me just open with a story. One day, I was out for a walk, and as I walked along the path, a serious, attractive young woman approached me, and she called me by name, and she handed me an invitation with my name on it. It said, "You are invited to a great and lovely feast." And then inside the invitation, sort of detailed all the wonderful meal that would be served and all the preparations that had gone into this banquet in her grand house. And she looked at me and she said, "Hurry. There's no time to waste, Joel." And then she was gone. Well, I walked along the path, invitation in hand, thinking about what had just occurred when I beheld a house. And as I drew near the house, I heard the voice of another striking woman. She was loud and rowdy, sounded fun. She also had an invitation. "Come over here, Joel. Come into my house. Life is good here, and life is easy here." To whom should I listen? Who should I follow? Such is the man who encounters the book of Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 9 because I am of the growing conviction that you cannot understand the book of Proverbs until you understand Proverbs chapter 9. So we are going to kind of work our way, hop around within this chapter, and we'll hit every verse as we go. I was going to begin by just reading the whole chapter to you, but we'll cover it in the message. So just to save a bit of time, I'll let you skip forward a couple of slides. And I want us to ask and answer three introductory questions before we dive in. So the first is, what is wisdom literature? This is an important question to ask if we are going to properly understand the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is one of five wisdom books found in the Bible. You've got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and the book of Job. And the Bible has lots of different literature in it. You can think of historic books, prophetic books, poetry, letters, laments, apocalyptic literature, and each one, you read each one a bit differently. What genre it is affects how you read it. So, for example, if you're in Revelation, you know you're in apocalyptic literature, and there's lots of allegory and highly symbolic language, and you're going to read that differently than if you read, say, a historic book like one of the Gospels. And we understand that's meant to be more understood as factual events that actually happen, and that's how we should read it. So just the way you read a comic book differently than you would read an encyclopedia, so you read the wisdom literature differently as well. There's a way to read wisdom literature, and this is so important. The way you read wisdom literature is slowly and repetitively, over and over again. Wisdom literature is that part of the Bible that is meant to be thought on and pondered on for a very long time. It's why many people add one chapter of wisdom literature to their daily Bible reading so that they're just always in the wisdom literature thinking on it. These books are to be moved through slowly again and again and again. And as you begin to do that, you realize that the five books of wisdom literature are meant to be read together. They're given in balance. And so as you read them all together, if you understand them all, you will understand how to live wisely. Okay, second question, what is a proverb? A proverb is a general statement of how things work. Okay, emphasis on the word general. It's a general statement about how things generally work. So, for example, Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. That is generally true. It generally holds true in life that if you're lazy, you will end up poor, but if you are industrious and hardworking, you will have enough to afford life and even enough to hopefully bless others and give to others. That's generally true. It's not always true, but it's true enough that it makes developing a strong work ethic a wise route to take in life, and playing video games in your parents' basement through your 20s, a foolish route to take in life. That's what the Proverbs are for. They are short, pithy. I see some giggles over there. Sorry, young men. they're short, pithy, memorable statements meant to get you thinking, to get you pondering, and to get you working out their implications in your daily life. This is important. Proverbs are not a universal statement of fact. A proverb is a short saying that is meant to communicate what is generally true. So you don't want to lay a burden on the Proverbs that they were not meant to bear. Let me give you an example. Think about Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. All of us can think of someone who grew up in a godly home who became an atheist as an adult and walked away from Jesus. And likewise, all of us can think of Christians who grew up in really horrible homes where they didn't hear a thing about Jesus. So does this disprove the proverb? Not at all. What's Solomon saying? He's saying that it is often true. And so it is worth pursuing that saved adults come from godly homes. That is generally true. And therefore, the wise parent is going to train up their child in the way he should go. But if you treat the Proverbs like a theological promise from God, you will eventually be disappointed. That's not what they were intended or meant to be. You will be most helped by them if you look at them as things that are generally true and so worth abiding by in life. Third question, who is Proverbs written for? There's one primary target audience for the book of Proverbs. You know who they are? Well, yes. That's not the answer I was looking for. Young men. Boys and young men. Most of Proverbs is written by Solomon to his son. It's not just written to young men. We know that because Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning." So this is for anyone who wants to be wise. But do you know why this book is primarily focused toward young men? Because out of everyone in the world, they're the ones who need it most. I'm looking over there because I think you're the only young man I can see. I'll tell you why. I'll break the news to you. Okay? Proverbs 1:4 says that this book is for the purpose of giving prudence to the simple. You know what the word prudence means? Careful forethought before you say or do something. Not the quality most associated with young men, I wouldn't say. Though you can definitely be older and simple, you can definitely be female and simple. And just so we're clear, simple is not a compliment. That's why some people were giggling. It means you're not very wise in the things of this world. Simple is an acknowledgement that you are prone to living life by your urges. Yeah, simple. This is how people fail, how they waste their life. They live life by their urges. Without intervention, all of us can easily do this. We can easily fall prey to the world's lies and to its false promises. And we can make dumb decisions. But because young men are particularly vulnerable, I think this book is aimed toward them. Chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them." Over and over again in these first 8 chapters, "My son, my son, my son." It's a father appealing to his son to walk in the way of wisdom. And then we come to the key to this whole book, chapter 9. Chapter 9 is the story of two women. And the question that Proverbs 9 is asking you, if you're a young man, or really all of us, is this: which way are you going to go? Who are you going to follow? There are only two ways. There's no middle way. There's only two voices. There's no third voice. You are either following one or you are following the other. Which will it be? I think chapter 9 summarizes the whole book, because from Proverbs' viewpoint, you will either be a mocker or you will be wise. So just the next slide there, will you be wise or will you mock? Let's read verses 7 to 12. "Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer." That's you. You are in this part of the Bible. You are one of these two people. You are either a mocker — some translations use the word scoffer — or you are wise. What's a mocker? The mocker shoots the messenger. We see that there in verse 8. "Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you." If you bring correction into the life of a certain kind of person, a mocker, they will react with hostility. They'll say, "Who do you think you are? Think you're better than me, talking to me like that?" Mockers hate people who tell them the truth. Verse 7 says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. This means that the one who tries to correct the mocker ends up bringing harm. They get harmed. And in contrast, the wise man loves you for setting him straight. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. A wise man will thank you for correcting them. It might be hard for them to hear, but they will thank you for telling them and they will reorder their life according to God's word. That's a humble person. That person gets wiser. Proverbs says that if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. It benefits you. Verse 11, for through wisdom your days will be many and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. Again, this is proverbial language. Basically, what Solomon is saying is that generally, if you want to live a longer and happier life, well, then you will follow the path of wisdom. On the other hand, the path of folly generally leads to suffering. The mocker will usually bear the horrible results of his rejection of wisdom. You say things like, crime doesn't pay, right? If you scoff, if you mock, if you look at the Bible and go, yeah, right. I'm not believing that. I'm not doing that. Let those crazy Christians live like that. I'm going to live how I want. Well, you'll bear the consequences of that choice. Okay? This passage is very clear. You're either a person who brings himself under the authority of God's word, which means that you trust that what he says is true, and you begin to actually reorder your life accordingly, or you scoff at it and you mock it. You say, no. No thanks. Look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's exactly what Solomon said back at the beginning of the book in chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Are you catching that? Seems that this is teaching that the ability to learn is actually a theological issue. To really learn in life, to learn wisdom requires that you fear the Lord. What's the fear of the Lord? Well, it's acknowledging that He is God and that you are not. It's recognizing that He is almighty and you are weak, that He is forever and you are like the morning dew on the grass, that He had no beginning and that you had a beginning and it was dust. He has no end, and to dust you will return. That God's thoughts are high and unsearchable, and your thoughts are low and not very deep. That's the fear of the Lord. It's acknowledging God is God, and I am not. And living my life accordingly. Some humility. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you don't fear God, you aren't going to fear His Word. And if you do not fear His Word, then you will not obey it. Now it's crucial to see in Proverbs 9 that both the wise man and the mocker start in the same place. What's the place? They both start off being simple. We all start off simpletons. Okay, you're simple, I'm simple, that's how we start. And in this life, there are two women who call for your loyalty. They call for your attention. They call for your trust. They represent two ways of living, two philosophies for living your life. They're the only two philosophies in all of creation. Whatever frames your existence falls into one of these two categories. Solomon knows what he's doing when he illustrates by using women. Typically, when a boy becomes a man, a young man, he finds himself drawn to women. Perhaps he'll one day pursue a woman romantically and get down on one knee and ask her to marry him. Hopefully she'll say yes. And so Solomon is saying, young man, you know what life is like? It's like this. And he personifies wisdom and folly into two women. He says, you're out for a walk and you're approached by two different women, very attractive women. And Solomon says, you know that draw that you feel? You know that energy you feel when you're around girls, son? Well, the same thing is happening in the world, in all of life. You are being invited into a relationship. These two women are calling you, but young man, you can only pick one. You can start dating Lady Wisdom, or you can pursue Madam Folly. Let's look at Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom invites you to life. Verse 1, Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. This is a sturdy house. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants and she calls from the highest point of the city, let all who are simple come to my house. It's an open invitation. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Her feast is meant to be enjoyed. It's meant to be savored. Wisdom is meant to feed and satisfy you. It's a feast, and you're invited. There's no cost. Just come and eat. Come and drink. It's all waiting for you. And if you come and if you drink, you will find life. That's Lady Wisdom, and she's inviting you to life. Let's look at Madam Folly. Madam Folly invites you to death. I choose Madam on purpose. A brothel is a place of prostitution, usually run by a madam. That's exactly the imagery that Solomon has been building on here for the past few chapters. We don't catch it when we read verse 17, stolen water is sweet, food eaten in secret is delicious. But if we go back and read it, resonates as actual sexual metaphor. You see this woman appear again and again all through the first eight chapters as the adulterous woman, the forbidden woman, the foreign woman. She's called all sorts of different things, and they all sort of are represented here by this Madam Folly. Verse 13. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, let all who are simple come to my house. That's the very same invitation that Lady Wisdom offered back in verse 4. Both are calling to the simple, but to those who have no sense, Madam Folly says, hey, young man, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. No one will know. It'll be our little secret. It's alluring. She's tempting. Just like her face, her house is all painted up. But Solomon says, little do they know the dead are in there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Friends, there is no feast in that house, just dead bodies. There is no slaughtered lamb, just slaughtered men. Folly is seductive, it's unrestrained. It's stupid. She doesn't hand out formal invitations. She sits in a chair by her door, whistling at innocent boys on their way. The invitation sounds similar, but listen closely. You'll see that it's a lie, because she's offering a shortcut to prosperity. If you read the book of Proverbs, what you will quickly learn is that there is no shortcuts. Oh, church, how the world offers shortcuts. The Bible tells you to stay sexually pure and to pursue a spouse, to work hard and accumulate your wealth over time, not to get it too quickly all at once. What does the world say? The world says, why would you do that? And you could have pornography. Why would you do that when you could shack up with someone and just, you know, have no commitments and no real responsibilities? Why would you do that when you could gamble and win big? Take a chance on some get-rich-quick scheme. Don't grow up. That's hard and unnecessary. Come down Easy Street. That's Madame Folly. And she's crying to you like a loose woman to a young man. Don't work. Don't put to death your laziness. Don't finish school. Don't get a wife. Don't get a husband. Don't be morally pure. Follow me. It's easy over here. Come on in. The door is open. But Solomon says you walk in that door and you're dead. You're dead. You say, well, Lady Wisdom sounds kind of hard. Sounds like she's going to correct me and instruct me and rebuke me. Yeah. You know why? Because you need it. We all need it. That's how the simple are made wise. What you have here, I think, is the difference between a wife and a prostitute. It looks like you can get the same thing from both. And one of those two looks a whole lot easier. But it always leads to ruin. You can understand that, can't you, in the sexual realm? Solomon says if you can understand it there, then you can understand it in the realm of your whole life. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live. One woman is inviting you and another is soliciting you. Lady Wisdom will correct you and make you wise instead of simple, and she will lead you to life. Madame Folly will promise you an easy life now, your best life now, and she will let you in, and she will lead your simple life to hell. And that sounds, if you think about it, a whole lot like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, when he said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and few find it. Friends, the New Testament teaches that Jesus himself is the wisdom of God. According to God, choosing Jesus is choosing wisely. Like Lady Wisdom, Jesus offers to feed and satisfy you. Come to my feast. You're all invited. There is no cost. Just come and eat. Come and drink. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever drinks of me will never thirst again. John 6:35. Yes, it's the harder path, but it is the one that leads to God and to joy and to eternal life. All that is waiting for you. Will you build your house on the sand? Or will you build it on the rock? Choose wisely. Will you be one of many on the broad road or one of the few on the narrow? Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Two voices are calling. Which will you choose? Let's pray. Father, some passages in the Bible are just so straightforward. They cut. I pray that they would prune us. This passage would prune us. I pray that everyone here would pursue wisdom from the bottom of their hearts. I pray that we would reap the joy of life, a life lived in obedience to you and your perfect ways. And that we would not fall prey to the schemes of the evil one. Help us walk in wisdom like our Savior and our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen.